You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. I'm Tony Marita, founding pastor of Imago Dei Church and vice president of planter development for Send Network. My guest today is my good friend, Matt Carter. Matt is vice president of mobilization for Send Network, the largest church planting network in North America. He was also the founding pastor of the Austin Stone Community Church in Austin, Texas. During his tenure at the Stone, the church sent over 300 full-time missionaries to unreached people groups around the world. Matt is also the co-author of several books, including For the City, The Real Win, and Still Away Home. He and his wife, Jennifer, have three children. Matt, great to have you on the podcast, man.
It is good to be here. Dr. Marita, it's surreal in many ways. You and I planted churches about the same time. Me and Austin, you and Raleigh, Durham area, and then kind of ran in each other's circles in seminary. I went and got my doctorate underneath you, and now it's come full circle. And we are working together as vice presidents at Send Network, man. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, man. Somehow we became the old guys all of a sudden. I don't know how that happened so quick, huh?
We used to get invited to the young pastor events, and now we're like the old guys leading them. And so it's, but we're old, man. That's how it goes. Hey, I'm just glad I live long enough to kind of be old. And so thankful for that.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Kimberly and I just had a vacation, and we did a 10-day cruise. And I felt young on the cruise. If you go on a cruise, you're the young guy. So that was very encouraging. If you stay up till 10 o'clock, you know, you're the young cat there. Hey, we're going to talk a little bit. That's actually related to our subject, endurance in ministry. You and I are not, we're not dead yet. We want to keep pressing on until the end, until we see Jesus, and we want to be faithful to the end. I've heard you say that. I have said that many times when people say, "Hey, what are your goals or whatever?" And it's kind of like, "Man, I want to finish well." That's everything else kind of falls under that. So this is obviously a relevant topic. You don't have to be a kind of a lead pastor, lead planter for this to be relevant. This is hopefully will be encouraging and helpful to any of you who are out there listening about endurance. And this could be a whole series of podcasts, actually. But what I want to talk about with Matt is just some practical ways in which you can be faithful to the end. Some things that have helped him, and I'm going to chime in as well and talk about some practices that have meant a lot to me when it comes to endurance. So I'll kick it to you, Matt. Two or three practices that have helped you endure in ministry. Feel free to take that and just fire away, and I'll chime in.
Yeah. So, man, I'd say step number one. I don't know if it's number one, but this is the first one that came to my mind is from Ephesians 6, when it's talking about the full armor of God. But there's an interesting statement about Satan in there, you know, and one of the things that we do when we put on the full armor of God is it protects us against the schemes of the enemy. I'm actually preaching on that this Sunday, and I was looking up that word. And it carries with it the idea of an intentional, thoughtful plan. And so what that's saying, Tony, is that we have an enemy. I think we forget that. And he is studying us. And he has an intentional, thoughtful scheme about how to take us out.
Yes.
Now, you know, when you think about that, that'll get your attention. This is not some weird nebulous enemy. This is an enemy who is actively planning on how he can make you fall. And he knows you. You know, man, if you're just some normal dude, and look, if you're just some normal dude, some guy that goes to church on a Sunday and and goes to work or whatever, but isn't, you know, living on mission for Christ, that isn't making an impact for the kingdom of God, I don't think the enemy really cares that much about you.
Right.
I don't mean that bad. Yeah, just it's the truth. But if, like, if you're a leader of a church, if you're a pastor, if you're an elder, if you're a pastor's wife, and that is planting a church in hard soil that he's been kind of running rampant over, and you put a stake in the ground and say, we're going to start preaching the gospel, we're going to preach the word, we're going to lift high the name of Jesus, I think Satan ramps up his attacks. I think he looks at his demons and says, what's his name?
Right.
What's his wife's name? And so I think step number one, and why do I say this? Because I, Tony, you'd be shocked at how many guys just sort of live their lives like nothing bad could ever happen to them. Oh man, you know, that'll never happen to me. You know, man, if you and I right now were to sit down and we were to make a list of guys that we began ministry with 30 years ago that are no longer in ministry because of crazy stuff, so many of them you would have never, ever, ever, ever guessed it could happen to them. And so part of enduring in ministry is realizing you are in a battle.
Yeah.
And you got to prepare for that. I would say the other thing is, man, what I have found is that part of that endurance is surrounding yourself with, and I'm going to say men specifically, because hopefully you have a wife that's everything she's called to be, and she's amazing. But so let's take that for granted. But I have had men in my life, men that I have given permission to speak into my life. So there's two things that those men have to have. They've got permission to speak into my life about my flaws, about my failures, and they also need to have proximity. You know, you and I had a mutual friend that didn't make it. And if you would have come up to him and said, hey man, do you have close friends? He'd go, yeah, I do, absolutely. But those close friends were guys like me and you that lived in different cities. Mm-hmm. And so his friends didn't have proximity. Then I've had other guys that would tell you all day that their elders are their friends. Mm. They've got proximity, but they've never looked at them and said, you have permission to speak into my life.
Mm-hmm.
You have permission. So I think it's praying for folks in your life that have proximity to you and have permission to speak in your life and help you grow in Christ along the way.
That's great, man. Yeah, I think just the underscoring the value of endurance. You've underscored the warfare that makes it so challenging. You know, when you're young, you may not be thinking about the finish line, but I'm saying that you need to think about the finish line earlier. You have to take the long view. If you don't take the long view, one, like, you can just get overwhelmed in the moment. You can feel like this season is never going to change or whatever. And I think you have to take a long view beyond even this life. That eschatology is actually a very practical discipline to think about. Like, when you look at passages about the return of Christ and so on, so many of them are pushing you to faithfulness. Unfortunately, eschatology made people fanatical rather than faithful. But the goal is to remember that we're going to see Jesus Christ. And that impacts the present moment. So I think taking that long view of life and a longer view of, you know, we want to hear a well done, good and faithful servant from the Lord Jesus is so important to endure hard seasons of life. More practically, maybe just the, you mentioned this some already, but paying attention to your heart is so vitally important. For me, that's pretty much Bible and prayer in the morning and making sure I've got unhurried and unhindered time with the Lord. And the older I get, the sweeter that time gets. You know, I go to bed looking forward to getting in my recliner in the morning with a cup of coffee and an open Bible and saying to the Lord Jesus, I need you. I need the gospel afresh in my heart right now. I need to sing right now. I have no idea what's going to unfold this day. And that is not an exaggeration. Like stuff happens, man. And I need that time to be with the Lord. And I think people recognize that when it comes to endurance, that you need to spend time with the Lord. I think Matt's right in talking about community. Just the importance for me in relationships. Our elders have small groups, and so that's the space for me. We meet regularly. They can ask me any question, and I can ask them as well. But also, like, I'll add a couple others that's more physical, emotional related. I said to somebody the other day, for my sanity, I need three things. I need to exercise and work out. I need to sleep, and I need a full day off a week. And I see the effects in my life in many, many ways if some of that gets out of order. You know, now I can probably go one or two nights a week without sleeping a lot, but I can't go more than that. And I can't do that for a long period of time. So I'm okay when people make fun of me for going to bed early. Like it's just a necessity for my life. And then, you know, exercise is less now. I'm about to be 47 years old. It's less now about appearance. It's for me, it's my emotional health. It takes, it's a great stress reliever. It puts me out there in the real world. I get to engage with unbelievers. And we got people coming to my church right now because I met them in the gym. And then that day off, and for me, that's usually I work outside on Saturdays, and I just love it. I just make stuff up to do, you know, so I can just not have to think about writing or content or pastoring. If I can do some yard work, leaf blowing, whatever it is, and just stay outside, is super helpful for me. But and I know
let's
for you, Matt, that would
about
be hunting.
That, man.
Yeah,
yeah, but let me just say this because, and I want you to hold your thought, you know, for me hunting, but. The reason I interrupted you is because I know that there's a lot of church planner guys listening to this right now and going, yeah, but I'm planning the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't get a day off. There's always people that need to meet with me and there's too much to do. Man, what would you say to that, Doc? What would you say to that church planner right now who's working 80 hours a week to plant that church and is telling us right now in his heart, I don't have time to do that?
I think if you don't take a day off, the Lord will give you a day off.
or a week or a month.
Exactly.
Or like a career.
In his book Reset, David Murray, I can't quote this verbatim. It's a kind of a lengthy quote, but he quotes a friend who has mentored church planners. And I recommend this book on this subject, by the way, of resting called Reset. He said he's received various phone calls of from church planners, young leaders who they're like, man, I'm stressed. I can't sleep. I can't pray. And they've just worked themselves to death. And he repeats the same mantra to them over and over again, which is you need to take a full day off every week. You need to work out vigorously. And I love that he says vigorously in the book, at least 3 days a week. And you need to take one night a week to be with your wife alone. And in this particular paragraph that I'm thinking about, he says, he gets pushback every time from the church planter, like you're raising. And what he says is, do this for 3 months and then call me if it doesn't help. And he's never received a phone call, he said. So it can be done. And I understand. I mean, we're both sympathetic to the work of church planters, but you also will do your best work when you're working out of health and
100%.
Out of burnout, you know? And so that's back to taking the long view. You don't have to work 7 days a week for hours and hours the first 3 years of your church plan. And unfortunately, a lot of guys feel that pressure, you know, like, so I would just say, I know it's hard, but man, learn to incorporate these rhythms.
Yeah. And you got to set the culture because your people are going to want you. And yeah. You got to set the culture with your family, your staff, and your church that this is a priority and do it from day one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think another thing for me that's helped through the years with endurance is learn how to celebrate little wins when you get them, because it's easy to get discouraged when you don't get the major wins. You know, the attendance isn't what you want it to be, or whatever those things are for you. But still, the Lord is working always. And there's always there's a need for us to stop and reflect and say, man, that guy is really growing in the faith. It can be a small win, but don't fly past those. Recognize those. That'll actually be life giving when you start looking for evidences of grace. You know, we start our meetings like that regularly at IDC. Is like, hey, what are some evidences of grace you're seeing? Instead of going straight into critique mode and let's fix a problem mode, hey, how do we see God working? And that can be really life giving. Now, Matt, talk a little bit about seasons of ministry. Young guys, middle-aged guys, older guys. I think this is a subject that should be on our minds in every season, right? How do you think about that in terms of this subject of endurance?
Well, you said it earlier that it's different in different parts of our ministry. But, you know, one of my mentors was talking about this one time, and he said something that really stuck with me. I've always remembered it. He said, Matt, typically the enemy is not going to try to take you out in your 20s. He said, it happens. He said, but what the enemy wants to do is he wants to wait until you're at the height of your influence, where taking you out can cause the greatest damage to the kingdom of God. And then that's when he likes to set that hook. He says, this guy was a country boy, so he said, but what he will do is he'll put little hooks in you when you're young. Little hooks of lust, little hooks of entitlement, little hooks of a love of money, little hooks of a desire for power, little hooks of workaholism, not taking a day off, like we just said. And here's the thing is, if we don't identify what the hooks are in our life and remove them when we're young, then those things get entrenched. They begin to fester. They get calcified. Mm. And they're harder and harder and harder to take out. And then one day you wake up and you're an older guy at the height of your influence, and the enemy sets the hook and he's got you. And so I think that doing the work in your youth, and I say, you know, 20s and 30s, doing the work of what are the hooks in my life? Mm-hmm. Ask your wife that question. Ask your best friend that question. Ask your kids that question. What are the hooks in my life? And then you get them out. I'm not mm-hmm. talking about you wrestle with them or play with them. I'm talking about you remove them. And that's and staying emotionally in love with Jesus, which you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're an old dude and you're like, hey, I can't wait to get up in the morning and meet with Jesus. I think those two things, you remove hooks and you're emotionally with Jesus, I think you got a good shot.
Yeah. I think about old George Mueller when he was 71. He talked about how many times he'd read through the Bible and how fresh it is every time he reads it. And, you know, he's got that classic line, my first business of the day is to get my heart happy in the Lord.
Yeah, that's so good.
I just live by that, man. Like, yeah. I don't even want to talk to anybody yet because I won't be a blessing to them probably. But I need to get my heart happy in the Lord and live out of the overflow of a Christ-adoring heart all day long, you know. That's the key. And it never stops. Like, the devil didn't take a day off. Even if I'm taking a day off, I'm still in the Word. I'm still living out of that overflow of the heart. Hey, just a couple of encouragements maybe that you would offer church planters out there. You've offered some already, but kind of a final word to them on this subject.
Yeah, I would just, I would get on the front end of fatigue and burnout and spiritual exhaustion. You know, typically when guys reach out for help and confess that stuff is when a lot of times they're way far gone, man. Get on the front of it with your team. Have some trusted people in your life that you can sit down and process with. How can I live out a healthy routine of holiness and just, you know, the pattern of my life that will make sure that I endure? And And again, let me add one quick thing. We don't have time to talk about it too much, but you know, we're talking about taking Sabbath. We talk about removing hooks. But there's one more thing, like staying emotionally in love with your wife. Not only you stay emotionally in love with Jesus, but you stay emotionally in love with your wife, you know, because one of the things that'll take a guy out quicker than anything is if his wife doesn't want to have anything to do with him and his family. Right. And so, you're doing those things, I think you got a shot.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, man, that the peace with your spouse, if, assuming you're married, I know not all our listeners are married. I'm preaching on singleness right now at our church. So I want to always be sensitive and minister to the whole room. But in terms of marriage, man, I've had hard seasons of ministry. I've had dark seasons of life. But my marriage, by God's grace, has always been sweet. And it doesn't matter what's happening at the church, that when you go home and you can't wait to see your wife and spend time together, it is so vitally important. You know, we minister out of health, you know, in walking with Jesus, but also out of health in a marriage. And unfortunately, I've known guys that have had long quiet times every day, but their marriage is a wreck. And somehow we've envisioned personal holiness kind of separated from relationship to our wives, and we just should never do that. That is part of what it means to live a godly life, is to cultivate a healthy marriage, of thriving marriage. And so, man, this has been super encouraging, super helpful. May the Lord give us a marathon ministry as we continue to serve Him. Thank you for listening to the New Churches podcast. As always, please leave a review wherever you download your podcasts. Remember, friends, the tomb is empty and the throne is occupied. We are good news people in a bad news world. So let's go engage our communities with the gospel out of the overflow of a Christ-adoring heart.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.